Hey, it was a kind of busy week at the Capitol. Arguably could have been busier, arguably should have been busier, but there were some things done. There were some things accomplished. And to get a handle on it all, I'd like to do our weekly roundup of the activities at the Capitol with Brett Healy, president of the MacGyver Institute in Madison, Wisconsin, and Eric Bott, executive director of Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin, joining us on the Dan O'Donnell Show this morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning, Matt.
Great. Morning, Matt.
Glad to have you on board with us. What a week. Where do we begin?
I think I need to start at the beginning here. Apparently, I need to swing by your office at MacGyver a little more often and check up on what you and Two-Bit Tyler are actually doing.
Oh, my God. I just cost myself some problems, didn't I? It's Two-Meal. He's the problem.
If I walk in and you two are doing the worm, we're going to have a problem.
I'm all about doing the Vogue, so you'll catch that act later, okay? The Madonna-style Vogue. All right, into the business of the day. One of the big stories, of course, is once again Obamacare imploding on itself. We have big health insurer Anthem, which had already announced plans to effectively depart Ohio's Obamacare market in 2018, on Wednesday said it will almost completely leave Affordable Care Act markets in Wisconsin and Indiana. Now, the story I read here from the mainstream is, oh, well, it's because of all of the uncertainty caused by Trump and this whole health bill and what have you. I think there's something missing from that analysis. Brett, I'll start with you about what's happening to the insurance marketplace in the era of Obamacare.
Yeah, Obamacare's death spiral has been going on for a while, and so the idea that somehow the uncertainty in the debate in D.C. is having an impact on Obamacare and the exchanges is just kind of silly. As you pointed out, Anthem is leaving Wisconsin. It's going to put 18,000 people in 34 counties without health insurance. We were already seeing skyrocketing prices here in Wisconsin. In 2017, premium averages were up 16%. Deductibles were skyrocketing. The mid-level silver plan had deductibles of $7,000 for a family. So the Obamacare in Wisconsin has been trending the wrong way for a long time. Anthem's decision and announcement that they're no longer going to participate is only going to make the situation worse in 2018.
Eric Bott, let's turn to you because obviously there's a lot of friction in D.C. There's always a lot of friction, but this week the Republicans in the Senate come out with their health care plan. It has raised some concerns, certainly both on the right and on the left. And today we have Senator Johnson saying, wait a minute, fellas, I need some time to read this thing before I have an opportunity to work on it, to vote on it. And if I don't have the opportunity to read it, you're not going to get my vote. What do you think? What's going on with this?
You know, I think you see there's a real clear difference right now between our two senators, right? We have this death spiral of Obamacare, and as Brett just said, 18,500 people about to be kicked off their health care. And we've got one senator, Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's still wedded to Obamacare, trying to save President Obama's legacy issue and unwilling to come to the table and fix things. And you've got Senator Johnson, on the other hand, who's trying to be very thoughtful. He issued a statement this week talking about the Senate Republican plan, saying, well, let's not rush this thing. We want to make sure this actually does what we need to see happen to lower health care costs and make sure people have access to good health care. Absolute polar opposites of the spectrum on where our two senators are coming at this issue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you see this thing moving forward, or is it in jeopardy, Eric?
I'm optimistic. I think there's a critical mass in Washington amongst Republican senators that feel that they must do something on this issue, and that ultimately they're going to come together and pass something awfully similar to what came out of the House. But it's certainly not a shoo-in. We've seen that there are some senators on the right who are a bit concerned that this plan does not go quite far enough. It does some great things, like getting rid of the individual mandate and the employer mandate, but it appears to leave some of the taxes in place. It really just gives token effort to stop the Obamacare or Medicaid expansion, which has really driven costs out of control in so many states. So there's a lot to be concerned about, and we've also heard that there are some moderates in the Senate who are also concerned on the flip side. And so this thing becomes, it becomes a quite a difficult task for the leadership in the U.S. Senate to try to keep people on both ends of their caucus on board with this thing. But I think at the end of the day, there's an understanding in Washington that the American people put them there to do a job, and job number one was addressing Obamacare.
Yeah, very, very serious. I mean, that's what so many people ran on and were elected to do. That was the mandate from a lot of people out there. All right, let's switch gears. Eric Bott joins us, Americans for Prosperity. Brett Healy from the MacGyver Institute. Let's actually go with some things that were indeed accomplished in the legislature and a very contentious battle and debate over free speech. The campus free speech bill passes on a party line vote in the assembly. Brett, we've talked about this before, the importance of allowing all forms of speech on campus. It seems it has been the case for a long time. Conservative speech just doesn't seem to get the same opportunity. What did you think about this debate and some of the hyperbole that I heard coming from the left once again on it all?
It was ironic to note that the United States Supreme Court earlier in the week issued a unanimous 8-0 decision reaffirming every American's right to free speech, and yet just a couple days later on the assembly floor, assembly Democrats were ramping up the rhetoric against the campus free speech bill, calling it a gag order, unconstitutional. And not only did they ignore the United States Supreme Court decision just from earlier this week, they also ignored recent events here in Wisconsin where we've seen conservative speech trying to be shouted down, pushed out on our campuses. I think all your listeners are aware of the Ben Shapiro speech at UW-Madison where the progressives, the far left, tried to shut it down, and then everyone's familiar with the video that your colleague Vicki McKenna took when she went outside to try and talk to some of the protesters. Their behavior towards Vicki, shouting her down, calling her racist, saying that the very presence of Ben Shapiro on campus to give a speech is violent, it just shows how out of step some of these kids on the far left are. You know, you hate to use the term snowflake in these sort of situations, but what we see, the behavior that they're exhibiting, the term fits.
Well, they're snowflakes made of acid rain, I'm afraid, because when they fall down, they start, doing the things that they have done for so long, disorder and disruption and shame, and all of this nonsense, trying to shut down speech on the right. It is interesting to me. Eric, let me get your response to this. Brett had mentioned it. Some of the hyperbole, the hyperbolic talk from the left on this. This is nothing more than a gag order. Now, let me ask you, where was this self-righteous left when the John Doe investigation and the prosecutors in that case were slapping what one appeals court judge called screamingly unconstitutional gag orders on targets of John Chisholm's John Doe? Where were they? Where was that righteous indignation then?
That's a great question, Matt. You know, we were pointing this out during the floor debate on social media, the rank hypocrisy of some of the Democrat members of the state assembly. They were either silent or even supportive when government issued gag orders on Wisconsin citizens and told them, you're not allowed to talk. We're coming. We're taking your stuff. We're taking stuff of your friends. Turn over all your emails. Turn over all your documents. And don't you dare tell anybody. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell a soul, or we might put you in jail. That's how bad things were in Wisconsin. We had actual government-issued gag orders straight out of 1984, or dystopian sci-fi novel. And the ACLU was quiet. These Democrat legislators who now have a newfound love of the freedom of expression were silent or even pushing it. And yet here they are, viciously attacking a proposal that I think is totally necessary. There was something that happened this week in the news that I think you know, really proves this point. Students at the University of California, San Diego, tried to block and censor a speaker from coming to campus and giving a lecture. But this time it wasn't Ann Coulter. It wasn't some, you know, conservative provocateur. It was the Dalai Lama. That's how outrageous this is getting. We have students trying to block the Dalai Lama from coming and speaking on campus. And I can't imagine, you know, anyone who could be better at uniting us and spreading a message of peace and love than the Dalai Lama. But that is how bad things have gotten.
Can you see this now? 1980s, and Berkeley says, there is no way in God's good name, well, they wouldn't say that. There's no way on this earth that we're going to let Mother Teresa speak at this event. That's what you're talking about. That's how absurd it is. We're running out of time, so I want to get to a couple of other things. But, Eric, I'll stay with you on this. Let me get your first take on it. We have a joint finance committee that is not meeting again this week. We still have some. I think they may be on the delusional side saying, yeah, I think we can get this thing done, wrapped up by the end of the month. I think we'll have a new budget. But I don't think that's going to happen. You can respond to that. But more so, I talked to State Representative Dale Coenga this week, and he said there was momentum. Within hours of that claim, we're hearing that things are breaking down between the Assembly and the Senate on education, which it seemed they were so close. But let me get your ultimate take on this. Laptops, free laptops and notepads for every high school freshman, because that appears to be the thing that is the sticking point, or one of them right now.
Yeah, you know, the Assembly Republicans put a proposal in their agenda to give every student in the state a free laptop or iPad. It kind of fell by the wayside. No one's been talking about it for months, and yet this week it was reported by the MacGyver News Service that it became a sticking point in the budget negotiations. Just when folks thought the legislature was close to coming to a deal on education, a parent reportedly, the speaker brought up this issue and started pushing, let's buy free iPads for everybody and their Google, you know, notebooks and give them to everybody. And so these sort of games keep being played. It seems like there's almost an intent to delay and draw out this process.
Brett, what do you think? And particularly about this whole issue again, which we thought was just kind of a campaign thing in late September last year, it now becomes, as Eric described it, a sticking point once more.
Well, you're right that it's disappointing that there was no momentum this week. Everyone had been told, everyone seemed to be saying that, yeah, we'll be able to get to the table and continue to vote on some of the outstanding issues. And when all of a sudden education didn't get to the table, didn't get to the committee as everyone expected, not only did you have everyone accusing everyone else of negotiating in bad faith, you started having everyone in the room talking about it. And I don't think that's a good sign for the long term, or actually for the short term, of getting this thing done. It seems to me we're at the point where all sides are starting to spin and starting to make the case that they're not the reason for the delay. They're reasonable. If the negotiators, if all the politicians sitting at the table are spending more time spinning, trying to shift blame, we're not going to make a whole lot of progress to actually passing a budget by July 1st.
Okay, one final topic, Gary, and then we'll say adieu for today in this wrap-up of the Capitol. I want both of your take on this. It was a rough week for the Dems in Wisconsin. Let me tell you why. Because Monday, was it Monday or Tuesday? It was sometime this week, Peter Barca, Jennifer Schilling decided they were going to hold a press conference, which was covered by virtually no one, where they pulled out a suspect study that suggested the prevailing wage, the social cost of prevailing wage reform in Wisconsin would be $300 million or more. You could drive a Mack truck through this study, and you know where it comes from, this Union Front group. And so they had problems trying to make the case against prevailing wage when prevailing wage wasn't really a topic on the Capitol this week, let's face it. The other thing involved the Republicans coming out with a bill on Medicaid and Obamacare and health care about pre-existing conditions, and the Democrats ended up voting against the thing that they wanted most. it was a baffling week for the Democrats. Brett, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there's no way around it. I don't think the Democrats had a good week. The Supreme Court comes out with a unanimous decision on free speech. They're on the floor arguing against it. This prevailing wage study was pretty much a joke, and no one came to the press conference to cover their new report. So, yeah, there's no way around it. The Democrats had a tough week. The Speaker, Speaker Voss, outfoxed them on the floor, slipped in a provision on covering pre-existing conditions, and for some reason the Democrats actually on the floor of the State Assembly voted against that proposal. At the same time, or at the national level, their counterparts are trying to make that the center of the Obamacare replacement debate. So not a good week for Assembly Democrats.
Very good. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, there's really no question. Virtually every objective, credible study that looks at the prevailing wage cost finds that indeed the law drives up costs and reduces competition. And it's no surprise that, apparently a study from a union front group falls and is a total dud. And again, we hear a lot of whining from the minority party in this state about gerrymandering or districting being the source of all their problems. Clearly, I think what we saw this week is that when they fail so miserably in a attempting to do a gotcha vote on the assembly floor against assembly Republicans and are completely outmaneuvered by the assembly leadership and end up putting their own members on the line voting against protecting pre-existing coverage, it's an absolute political debacle, huge mistake on their part, and that's the reason why I think that party is having a lot of difficulty in Wisconsin today.
Some head scratchers. I was remiss. We certainly would have talked about the whole craft brewery, the whole three-tier system. But I did have a chance to, I don't know if you heard it this morning, we had a chance to talk with Will Glass, who is the president of the Brewers Guild in Wisconsin, and his story is just remarkable. We kind of covered that. This is a story, though, that we'll continue to look at coming up next week, and MacGyver will continue to be on that. And, of course, I know, Eric, you are very interested in this story as well.
I am. Yeah, there was a closed-door meeting hosted by Speaker Voss this week to start a dialogue for the distributors and lobbyists who are pushing for some pretty draconian changes in the law. They really wanted increased regulations on craft beverage producers, create a liquor czar to go out and force against these little small businesses. It's a dreadful proposal. I don't know where it's going. The speaker seems to have interest, but I'm hearing from a lot of others in assembly leadership that they don't want to touch this thing. So it's unclear at this point where this thing's going, but it is still alive and kicking. And so if you're the listeners out there care about their craft beer, get on the phone to your legislator today and tell them keep their hands off our craft beer.
Well, this is to be resolved and to be continued, and I hope we can continue our wrap-up conversations on the radio sometime real soon, okay? Always enjoy. Hey, Armin, hit us with some breakdancing music on the way out here. I know that these two guys, more than any, love a good electric boogaloo. Am I correct, or am I just smoking something here, guys?
Man, electric boogaloo is alive and well. It was featured in a recent hit kids movie, Hotel Transylvania 2, so I'm aware of it. My kids know
it. So I'm doing it right now in my car.
Awesome. Listen, Eric and Brett, you know this too. When you are a parent, your only references to the broader culture and society are through your children. So that's and those types of movies. So that's where I'm at too. Thanks, gentlemen. I really appreciate your time. I do.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Brett.
Take care. Have a great week. Okay. Well, we need to wrap it up here right now for this particular segment. Like I said, it was a busy week in some ways. It wasn't an overt busy week, but a lot of things going on behind the scenes at the Capitol.